Go ahead and take your Bible this morning and turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Title of the message this morning is Starting New in 22. Amen. 22 rhymes so well with so many different things, right? So Starting New in 22. Every year when we begin the new year, I like to, as a pastor, kind of challenge the church to maybe do a few things different. You ever getting caught in a rut? You know what that means? Get caught in a rut. We use that term, but I maybe don't remember what it came from. And years ago, when wagons were coming over the passes and stuff, they would ride in the same path. And after a while, you know, those wagons were very narrow with their wheels and the wagon wheels. And they would cut a little groove in the ground. And if you pass a whole bunch of wagons across there, you get a groove that can be rather deep. And it's called a rut. And you get stuck in the rut. And if you wanted to get out of that rut, you had to work at it. You had to lift your wagon up and get it out of that and move it over to the other, or you'd break your wheel or something of that nature. And that's sometimes what happens in our Christian life. We get stuck in a rut. And every year about this time is a good time to challenge yourself on what are you doing for God. I've been challenged in my own devotions and listening to some messages online from different preachers on challenging and really testing God this year and saying, Lord, what would you have us to do or me to do that's amazing, that's a miracle? You know, it's easy to pray for the sun to come up, amen? Because God's already put that in motion. Now, I'm grateful every day the sun comes up. Somebody say amen. I mean, I'd be kind of distressed tomorrow if at 7 o'clock, 7 whatever, at 6:45, if I looked over there and there was no sun, I'd be kind of worried. I'd be like, "Whoa, something's wrong." All right, I've seen this movie before; it never ends well, right? But the sun comes up, and so for me to pray for the sun come up is not really a test of faith; it's more of an appreciation for what God's put in place already. But what is it that God can do in your life this year that maybe would be amazing? Maybe it would be to read more Bible. Maybe it would be to, do different things. You know, life right now, we can get caught in the rut. What is the rut? Well, normal things. You know, we got school. School's going to kick in for some. They got to get back into school. Our kids already jumped back into school already. They're back in the game. Some, it's coming back into a normal work pattern. Right before you have parties, you know, all these events, and maybe a little bit lax at work. Now it's back to the grindstone. Amen. That's a nice rut, right, that we're in. Maybe it's this one's always comes around this time of year. We start thinking about taxes are coming due. Amen. Right, taxes.
That's a rut.
Yeah, that's a rut. Wouldn't you like to break that habit right there? The taxes are, you know, we got taxes coming up. Bills are starting to come in. Christmas was fun. January is not so much fun, right? And you got to pay all those bills off. And these are life things that kind of absorb our time, don't they? Last one I got is doctor needs. I have, jokingly, between my mom and me and my wife, you know, my mom has some medical needs and stuff. I find that my calendar is being filled with doctor's appointments. And now it's time to get back into those doctor's appointments, right? And start making friends with those people that take care of us so well. And these are things that absorb our time. They absorb our life. We have other things, news and COVID and such. And the year, as we get on, if we're not careful, those things I just listed will absorb all our time and we'll never do anything for God because we're just so focused on the normal, the ruts, the rut of life. But may I say that maybe we could assess how we're doing in this. I like January. That's an opportunity to look and say, okay, how's my Bible reading, right? How's my prayer time? How's my family doing? Am I being a good dad? Am I being a good mom? Not me personally, but I'm challenging you now on that one. Am I doing what I should be doing, or am I struggling in some area? You know, January is a really good time before we get back into the rut of life to challenge ourselves and to do it, to set some new directions, to pull our wagon out of the hole that we're in and kind of course a new path that maybe would give you a better pass to go over, or maybe a more successful route to take. I was going over the Donner Pass. Everybody knows about Donner Pass? Just a few of us? Donner Pass is infamous for being a pass that many years ago, when settlers were coming over, they decided to take a new course, and they went a little bit later than they should have, and they ended up getting caught on Donner Pass in a massive storm. I saw the snow of Donner Pass just through this last storm, and it was somewhere around 15 feet high was the walls to the road that they'd been plowing. It was amazing, a lot of snow. And the Donner Pass, that was infamous because they had to resort to some very cannibalistic types of way to survive, and not endorsing it at all. Not everybody did, by the way. Just a few. I'm glad about that. You know more about that than I do, of course, but you can talk to Larry about that. I forgot that you were a part of that story there somehow. But the family, the Reed family, did not go that route. That's good to know. Never mind, I was going to say a joke. We'll just move forward. They are inviting us over for dinner here shortly, by the way. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry, I had to do it. Amen. The point is this. When we take our wagon out of the rut, we don't need to find a course that's wrong. We want to find the right path, the proper path. And that's what the Word of God can give us. In 2022, what are we going to do for God? The Word of God is clear that we can serve the Lord. Let's go to Romans chapter 13, verse number 11. Romans 13, we'll begin at verse number 11, read down to the end of the chapter there, verse number 14. It says, "And that knowing the times, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. May I pause just for a moment. Do you realize that Paul 2,000 years ago wrote that it was high time to get serious about serving the Lord because it's getting closer to the time of Jesus Christ coming back? Now, that was 2,000 years ago. I have to tell you, we're 2,000 years closer to Jesus Christ coming back. I believe it's a little bit higher in the high times. Amen? We need to be serious about this. It's high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering or wantonness, not in strife and in envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Let's pray this morning about how we can start this new year out for the honor and glory of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you now as we've kind of prepared our heart for the message. We've talked about the ruts of life. We've talked about maybe setting a new course. We've read the Word of God, which tells us it's high, high time to wake out of sleep and to prepare for the Lord's coming. Lord, would you move on our heart? This morning, in this room, there's going to be maybe some that are maybe not saved, and it's high, high time that they seek the Lord for salvation. The days of pushing off the Lord are far spent. It's a time to make decisions to trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But for those that are saved in here, it's high, high time for us to be serious about serving God. No longer can we just sit back idly, but we must engage our society. We must see the need and understand it's important for us to actively reach into our community and shine Jesus Christ. Lord, it's high time. Lord, please be with us now, and Lord, guide and direct us. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. When we look at this, then we see the rut that we're talking about. We see the need that we really need to focus on. May I say this morning that God is going to challenge you, maybe through the Word of God today, to serve the Lord greater than we ever have. 2022, as I said last week, I always think that the even numbers are always better years. I don't know why. Odd numbers always leave me kind of like, ah. But even numbers give me hope, and that's just something in me. But in 2022, I can promise you this is going to be an opportunity for you to serve the Lord. This next year, our church is going to have a theme, and the theme is the value of one. The value of seeing the importance of the individual, the importance of growing and developing that individual for salvation, going out and reaching someone for Jesus Christ. My challenge to the church on the 30th, we're going to look at that. My challenge is to the church, not to the pastor, but to the pastor and to everybody that hears the voice, is to reach somebody for Jesus Christ, to bring somebody to church, to show somebody the love of God, to share the gospel with somebody in our community. Amen. That's the challenge, the value of one. We need to understand that our time is short. I believe Paul said it was high time 2,000 years ago to do something for God. And my friend, it must be of a greater importance today to serve the Lord. So what is it that we can do in 2022 to serve God? What is it that we can do to make God greater in our life? What challenges maybe can we do that we see from the Word of God? Number one, I want you to see we need to see the need to wake up and take a lead. We need to wake up. The Word of God is clear in that. Verse 11 says, and knowing the time now that is high time to what? Everybody read those two words together. To wake out of sleep. That's not two words. That was five words. But let's follow that principle. I was just going to do to wake, but let's follow it all. Let's look at that again. It says there, it's knowing the times that is now high time to what? To wake out of sleep. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you in that rut? Are you asleep at the wheel? Anybody ever fall asleep at the wheel? You don't have to testify. It's not a good one. You don't want to raise your hand on that one. I mean, I used to date this girl in Greeley Hill. She was a good friend of mine. I ended up marrying her later on. She's sitting in the back right now. When I remember, she lived in Greeley Hill. I lived in Mariposa. And the span is only, I think, 30 miles, not even that, 27 miles between the two. But it was a very windy road, the Coulterville Road. Anybody ever drive that road? It's a great road. It's just switchbacks, very windy, it's a car sick friendly road. Amen. If you like to throw up, that's the road to take right there. And I used to drive that road. I'd go on go over to her house, and I'd spend as long as I could stay there until they kicked me out. Usually it'd be 10 or 11 o'clock at night. I'd be driving home. It'd take me an hour and a half, normally an hour and a half, hour and 10 minutes, somewhere around there. It would take me to get from my house or their house to my house back home. And I would drive that. And I remember many times I would wake up. And there was one big spot. If you don't know that road, in the middle of the road, there's this huge bridge that crosses the Merced River. It's a big bridge. You can't miss it. I mean, it's long, it's big. And I remember many times going through that road and waking up in Mariposa or in Bear Valley or somewhere and not even remembering the bridge. That was my wake-up sign. It's high time to wake up and to pay attention. When you can drive an hour of road and not remember any of it, something's wrong. Amen? You ought to wake up. Years ago, I was in Bible college, and I was working for a company. It was a Wingate Air Conditioning. I was working for them at the time, and I was also throwing a paper route. So if you do the math, probably I was getting maybe 2 hours of sleep a night. That's at most. Paper route usually got in there at 4 o'clock to get your papers and get it all sorted and bagged and ready to go. And I had a rural route, so it took me a little longer. I drove in the mountains and some were throwing papers for the Press Enterprise. And then I'd get to work by 8 o'clock, work for Wingate. And then I would work until about 6 or 7 o'clock. And then I would go to my classes and I'd do my homework and all of these different things. So I was getting very little sleep. I remember driving on the freeway in my Wingate air conditioning pickup service truck, and I fell asleep at the wheel. Now that's not that bad, right? 55, 70 miles an hour on the freeway, but I woke up on the shoulder of the freeway. Okay, that's not too bad either. But the problem was there was a semi broke down on the same shoulder of that freeway sitting there, and I woke up in just enough time to pull the vehicle to the left. Nobody happened to be in the lane at the time, and I was spared from dying that day. And it was an epiphany. You ever have one of those light bulb moments? It's high time to wake up. I went home, I called Press Enterprise, and I promptly quit my job because it was not working for me. I adjusted my schedule because I realized something was wrong. I was going to cause great harm to me and my family if I didn't wake up and get some things squared away. May I say this morning, spiritually speaking, can we wake up a little? And the first thing is we need to have a need to wake up. See the need. Wake to the need that's there. I call it this. We need to have this light bulb moment in our life that says, hey, it's time for us to be serious in 2022 about serving God. Look, you've been in the rut. You're going to go back to school. You're going to go back to work. You're going to start paying your taxes, your bills, your doctor's needs. But could we serve the Lord while we do it? Somebody say amen. It's high time. It means the phrase high time means that the moment is already past. The moment is already here. It's not coming up. It's at the doorstep already. And we need to realize in our day and age, when Jesus Christ could literally come back at any moment, at any time, you better be serious about serving God. It is high time to serve the Lord. Stop wasting your life away. Stop looking at your life saying, well, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll read my Bible tomorrow. I'll pray tomorrow. I'll do the service for God tomorrow. Look, don't waste your time away. It's high time to get serious now. Amen. It's high time. Every teenager in here, you don't have the luxury of thinking that you're going to be able to live all your life and do all those dreams. The Lord can come back this moment. What are you going to do with your life? You should be, and any teenager in here this evening, morning, you should be looking at your life saying, what am I going to do with Jesus in my life? Not what career you're going to follow, not what direction you're going to go. Look, that'll all come in. That's the mundane things of life. What are you going to do with Christ? What are you going to do with Him? Amen. It's high time. If it was high time when Paul was there, then it's high time today and then some. We need to understand that the need is great for each one of us. It's high time. Let me give you a couple of thoughts. This is in one of these fly-by-night surveys that I pulled up off the internet. It was the U.S. government poll where they do labor and statistics. One of those fly-by-night outfits, amen. The government labor and statistic did a study on leisure. In 2020, we spent in total, in all of our leisure, 5 hours, almost 6 hours of our life, every day is spent in leisure. And then we have a little bit of work, and we have sleep. 6 hours, that's a fourth of our life every day, if you do a 24-hour clock, is on leisure. Watching TV is 3 hours of it. I honestly challenge that because I think most people, if you take the phone and you're watching off your phone, I think most people are watching way more than 3 hours if you count that with it. But just TV watching, playing games and computers, again, I think this is skewed because it only gives 0.62 on that. And we all know that that's not true in some of the generation. Amen? Now, for Bobby, she probably doesn't spend a lot of time playing on the computer, right? Bobby's like, no, I don't even have a computer, amen? Playing games on leisure, socializing and communication, half an hour, relaxation and thinking, which probably is one of the things we should be doing, is only 0.4. Participating in sports, 0.37. Exercise would be good on that one right there. Reading, 0.3. And other leisure activities, 0.1. Most of our life is spent behind a TV, our leisure time. I don't even see in the list, not that they would have put it there, any time for God. You know, could I say it's just time to see that it's high time? The need is great. The time is now. If you're looking for an opportunity to serve the Lord, it's today. It's not next week. It's not tomorrow. It's today. What are you doing today for God? Amen. Another thing on this, seeing the need to be in part of it and wake up is the fact that we need to wake up. That maybe we're asleep at the wheel. Proverbs 6, verse 6 through 11 says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways, and be wise, which have no guide or overseer, ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest." You ever look at an anthill? Now, I firmly believe Toll House, this whole area is just one big anthill. We've encroached on their land. Amen? How many people have ant problems? Just me? The ants got into the salt this year. Who does that? Amen? What do ants want even with salt? Doesn't make sense. They're confused. Oh, I thought it was sugar. You know? No. Anyway, you ever look at an anthill, we know that they're busy animals, creatures. They never stop. They're always coming and going. They're always working, preparing. They get the food so because they know there's a day. There's a day where they're going to need to have that. And God says, look, when you're considering your service, go to the ant. Consider how busy they are at doing what they're supposed to be doing. There's no one that's making them. There's no taskmaster with the whip whipping them. There's no pastor beating them on the head saying, you better read your Bible. Oh, I slipped over to, I'm sorry. The Bible continues on in that passage. It says, "How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep." You know that brings destruction. Truth of the matter is this morning, it said that goes on, it says, "So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man." We need to go to the ant, consider her ways, and be wise, and understand that we need to serve the Lord. It's time to wake up. Look, we cannot sleep until 10 o'clock every day, spiritually. We got to be serious about it. In 2022, we need to understand that we need to wake up. We need to understand that we need to be serious. Letter C, we need to realize that time is wasting or being spent. In our passage this morning, it gives us clear understanding of that. It says, "Knowing the time that now is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand." You know, the truth of the matter is, this morning, every one of us, we're running out of time. Teenagers are so funny. I used to be one a long time ago. I'm looking at my kids now. Long, long time ago. We got a hoverboard. Everybody knows, how many people know what a hoverboard is? All right. We got a hoverboard. I am having a ball on the hoverboard. I think it's a blast. Got on there and scooting around. They say I'm a little slow, but I'm getting faster. You can, if you've ever been on one, you can do swirls. You can go. It's just a good time. But let's not be kidding ourselves. I am no kid. Joshua gets on that thing. He's the 10-year-old. And he gets on it, and he can zip through the house. And our house isn't that big. There's a lot of obstacles in our house. There's not like a lot of free space. And he zips through it, does a swirl, runs around. He sits down on it, squats down, does it low, does it high, does it 1 foot. No, he doesn't know 1 foot. That's impossible. But I'm much older. Young people think they have all the time in the world to serve God. All the time in the world. There's never going to... My friend, it's time to realize it's now. Your life is short. The Bible refers to our life as a vapor that appears for a little time and vanisheth away. And though some may live a little longer than others, nobody is guaranteed anything in this world. This last week, as I mentioned in Sunday school, and briefly, we had to go to a funeral of a young man, 27 years old, that passed away. Went out to play in the snow with his girlfriend and his little 2-year-old son and her kids. Went out to have a good time. Don't know what happened. Somewhere in the Bass Lake area, something happened. Car accident. And he's in eternity now. That happens. Not making light of it. We like to think we're going to live forever, but age is not a guarantee of life. Strength is not a guarantee of life. Intelligence is not a guarantee of life. These are things, and we all are running out of time. Don't waste your life away. Wake up. Realize that what you have, the strength in your arms, the ability to breathe and to do and to think are precious gifts from God. The young man that passed away named Andrew, his journey's done. He's in heaven. He was a believer. He had trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. His journey's done. What's your journey going to do? It was a joy to be at his funeral. You say, well, joy. Yeah, because everybody talked about how he loved the Lord. Everybody talked about how he was serving God. Everybody talked about how he always had a smile on his face and how he was a loving father. And the things that count in this world, are you doing the things that count? Or are you just in that rut? Bills, taxes, appointments, making your mark in this world. You know, at the end of the day, what's that going to mean? What does a mark in the world mean? They're going to move on. Truth of the matter is, realize that we're wasting time. There are very few things that you cannot return. Think of it, this last Christmas, you got Christmas gifts. Many of you have already returned some of your gifts, haven't you? Right? Anybody already visited? I have. Some things that didn't fit, some things that, you know. You can return wrong size clothes. Ladies, you've done that, right? Men, you've done that. I've bought some clothes that I thought was going to fit in my wildest dreams. It didn't fit, right? We can return grandma's gift from Christmas. Those colorful socks, you can send them back. Amen? These are jokes in some fashion. Did you know you can even, if you buy a new car, you can even return a brand new car within 2 days of purchasing it. If you buy they're supposed to offer you the option, and you could buy into that option. You could return a brand new car in 2 days if you want to. Did you know that? Isn't that neat? For those who are about to go buy a car, I hope that helps you. But you know there's one thing you can't do? You can't return money, or rather time that you spend. There's no returns on that. You choose 3 hours a day in TV, no getting that back. No returns, no refunds, no do-overs, no mulligans for those golfers in here, right? It's just spent. You can't redeem it, you can't pull it back, you can't do it over. So may we consider what we do with our time. May we consider how we live our life. Stop wasting your life away, for we need to wake up. The Bible says in Colossians 4:5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Meaning the life we live, we better be busy about it. So the first thought is this morning to wake up and see it. Number two, cast off the hindrances of life. You know, some things that we do, we are our worst enemy. We create problems in our life that hinder us from serving God. We allow things in our life. We allow things in our life that are slowing us down from serving God. In 2022, we need to see that these things should be shed off and put aside. That's what it's talking about. It says in verse number 11 or 12, for the night is far spent and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let's put off some things. Well, what are some things? Well, Hebrews 12:1 gives us some understanding of this. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, I'm not against watching a TV show. I'm not against TV. I remember years back, people used to call it the one-eyed monster. It's not one eye anymore. It's like this big behemoth, right? Amen? 70-inch screens, you could practically climb in your TV and be a part of it, right? But how much time are we spending on TV, and how much are we spending on God's plan? Now, God's plan can be any number of things. We're going to look at that in a few minutes. But how much time are we giving to entertainment and leisure, comfort and rest, and all the niceties that America offers? And how much are we spending on the important things of life? I watch a good movie just like anyone else. I spend a little time. I've been known I've even binge-watched a couple of times. Everybody knows what binge-watching is, amen? Any confessors here you want to confess? Okay, a couple of Netflix binge-watchers or Amazon Prime binge-watchers. When we were growing up, that wasn't a thing. You couldn't do that. They showed one episode, and then the week, next episode, and they couldn't do it. Now you can watch the whole season in one setting, 12 hours solid of whatever you're watching, right? Only four people confess, but I'm looking around. A lot of people are nodding right now. You know you're the one. And I'm not against any of that. But you and God need to come to some understanding of how much of a hindrance you're allowing into your life on serving the Lord. Is there things in your life that are holding you back? There's three areas that I find that hold us back in serving God. I'll give you these three areas just very briefly. Number one is the world. The world events. The world activities. That would be the entertainment, that'd be music, that'd be hobbies that we have, all the things that the world throws at us. And our time can be very, very filled with worldly things and worldly thoughts and worldly events of our life. The world wants to consume us with all of that we can get out of this life. But the world has nothing really of eternal value. It's of sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. It's things that you invest in the world, and it's things that rust doth corrupt, and thieves break in and steal. You put your time into your money, somebody's going to get it from you. Amen? It's amazing to me. My mom, she's older. I don't classify her as old, but she's going to be... She was at a doctor's appointment the other day in San Francisco, and the lady says, "Oh, you're coming up on the big one, 80 years old." And she says, "What? What big one? That's not a big one. I'm going backwards. I'm not going up there. I'm going to start counting down, not going up any higher." I don't think you get that choice, but, you know. She's 80 years old, and the world... tries to get a hold of her. She gets phone calls constantly, scammers. You know what I mean? "Hey, your insurance or your vehicle warranty is about to expire for my 1998 Buick Park Avenue. Thank you. Amen. I didn't even know. Let's sign me up," right? People trying to strip away your money. People all the time trying to get at what you have. You know, it's all going away. The money you have, all these things. The world system is trying to draw you in, make it to realize how important it is. But truly, it's not. May you focus on the more important things of life and focus on the things that have eternal value. But then the next thing, we see the world is trying to pull you into it. And then we have our own flesh, the world and the flesh. You know, our flesh doesn't like to be discomforted. This last week, I had to crawl underneath a mobile home. I did not want to crawl underneath a mobile home. Somebody say amen. I have been pushing that off for a long time. I got out there. I had Julie out there in case I got stuck. She could call 911, right? Because I'm not as small as I used to be. You know, these things get tight. Really, it was actually so she could throw me things if I need it. But as I crawled underneath that home, I was singing a song to myself, partly just out of pity, but partly, and it was a song of how I hate going underneath mobile homes. Amen. Made it up myself as I was going underneath there. It was a miserable time. But you know what? That was the flesh talking. It had to happen. It had to be done. So I had to overcome the flesh to get the job done. I'd been pushing it off for far too long. Since the time we've moved here, the kitchen sink never drained right. It just needed to be done. So push off the flesh and get it done. I should have done that a year ago. All my kids said, amen. But my flesh was just lazy. Didn't want to do it. Now, you know, that's just in that end. But our flesh tends to rule and reign. It wants to have the pleasures of life. It doesn't want to be inconvenienced with something that maybe isn't so pleasing. And may I say, we got to push off the flesh sometimes. We got to say, okay, I'm going to get up and I'm going to read my Bible. Okay, I'm going to get up. I'm going to start praying for my church. I'm going to pray for my pastor. I'm going to pray for my fellow believers in the church. It's important. They're counting on me. And my flesh is going to say, nah, stay in bed. It's okay. You ever try to read your Bible in bed or pray in bed? You know, get that pillow all nice and comfy and lay your head down. I'm just going to pray for everybody until you get one name and you're out, right? You can't pray in bed. May you say, "Pastor, I do a great job." Good, you're the one. But I certainly, if my head hits the pillow, I'm done. Amen? No, the flesh. What's the third one? The world, the flesh, and then the devil. The sins of this world. The temptations that try to draw us in, the ungodly temptations that try to draw us in and try to hold us down. That's what Hebrews is talking about. It's talking about these sins that does so easily beset us. And we allow these sins in our life. We allow unrighteousness in our life. And it's keeping us from serving God. What in 2022 is going to hold you back? I promise you, if you allow sin in your life, it's going to keep you from doing what God wants you to do. Because there's a battle in your for your soul. There's a battle for your mind. There's a battle for your action. And God wants you to go one way, and the devil has no desire for you to go the way that God wants you to go. He's going to tempt you with sin. He's going to tempt you with sinful lifestyles and poor decisions. And you allow him into your life, and you not allow him, you hold on to him. Get rid of those sins. Get rid of the unrighteous living. Get rid of the phone if it's a trap for sin. Get rid of your books or magazines. Get rid of your drinks or drugs, whatever it is. Get rid of your impure thoughts. Get rid of those things. Turn them over to God and let God have a clean vessel that you can do something with. Because it's high time, and let me say this, we need to cast off some things. Number one, wake up. Number two, cast off some hindrances. Number three, the final one, or actually I got four, so stick with me. Number four, three, set some tangible goals in your life. What's the phrase? Fail to plan is planning to fail. That's what it is. In anything. You would never build a building by just going out there and saying, all right, let's throw some walls up, right? Any builders in here with me? You would plan it out. If you're really good, you'd do engineered drawings. But at least if you're a good builder, you could probably plan it out in your head. Some of you could probably do the whole thing from your head. But it's all planned in here. You would never just randomly say, all right, throw a wall up. What kind of wall? Is it a load-bearing wall? Is it just an interior wall? What kind of door are you going to put in it? What kind of window you want on it? Where are the outlets going to be? Hey, is there a water wall? You're going to have some plumbing in there. You might want to think about the underground before you put the concrete slab down. Amen. I've been on a few jobs where they failed to do that, and we were cutting concrete to put the pipe in for the toilet. Oops. Amen. Not any of my jobs. I was just assisting. But you got a plan. And so what are some tangible goals? Look, the Bible gives us some tangible goals in it here. We see in the Bible, it says, and the night is far spent and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let's get rid of those things. Let us put on the armor of light. Boy, I like that. It goes on to say, let us walk honestly as in the day. So what are some things that we can do? Well, we got to start walking honestly. We got to start setting some goals. We got to start putting some light into our life, and so that we're doing what God's called us to do. Well, here's some light things. Here's some tangible goals for 2022. These are opinions, but they're opinions based on the Word of God. Number one, we need to walk in the Bible. The Bible says walk in the light. Well, what is one of them? Walk in the Bible. Let's start getting in our Bible. Let's set some goals for reading. Let's set some times. When do you read your Bible? Do you have a time when you read your Bible? Oh, no, Pastor, I just read it whenever I get a chance to. Yes, and that means you're probably not very consistent at it. You're probably not doing a really good job at retaining it. Let's set some concrete times. Can you imagine if your boss, you went to work tomorrow, and your boss said, come in whenever you feel like. I'll pay you anyway. Can you imagine that? How many of us would show up on time? Oh, maybe the first week. We don't want to test that theory, right? But as that paycheck keeps coming in, and that paycheck keeps coming in, and the first time you'll show up maybe 5 minutes late, maybe 10 minutes late. Hey, maybe after a while, you're an hour. You come in with a burrito in hand. You stopped at Taco Bell before you went to work, right? Yeah, because you're not diligent. Look, set a time. I'm so glad that bosses, employers, this is one of my kids here recently, one of the younger ones that doesn't know anything quite yet, won't say which one, he said, you know, bosses, they don't hover over you making sure you do your work. I want to work for that place, amen, because every boss I know, I said, last time I checked, they have a time clock, and you punch in and you punch out, and then they're checking to see if your work's done, and they're checking to make sure you did it right, and if you're not doing right, they're pulling you into the office to tell you you're not doing it right, and if you still ain't doing it right, what do? They fire you, amen. Yeah, no, look, God is a gracious God, but do we treat him with respect of reading our Bible in a manner that would be diligent and dependable? Are we treating God and the Bible and just being cavalier with it? I mean, my goodness, this Bible, people have bled and died for it, and some of us don't even take it out of the car, so it's there for the next Sunday. Right? No, let's read our Bible, some tangible things we can do. Walk in the Bible, walk in your church attendance. You know, last time I checked, the church is still the bride of Christ. That means a marital relationship. That means fidelity. That means faithfulness to the church. Let me try that again. The church is the bride of Christ. You'd think it odd if a man who is married to a woman never came home. Or, let's flip it around for continuity's sake. If a bride never came home to the groom, you'd think there's a problem with that relationship, right? The groom's there. He's at the home. The home is built. It's established. Everything's ready to go. But the bride doesn't want to ever show up. You got too many other things. Out with her girlfriends. We're the bride, by the way. Jesus is the groom. Bride's too busy. Going shopping. Has a hobby. Has to work. And so never shows up for the groom. My goodness, my friend, may we find our church attendance. It should be one of the most important things. Why? Because we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the matter of some is. We're supposed to be faithful to the house of God. Why? Because it's the opportunity to connect to the groom. So, church attendance. Where's your church? Could I suggest, as you get some tangible goals for 2022, put some Bible on, walk in the Bible, walk in church attendance, walk in witnessing. This year, could we share the gospel? Oh, pastor, I'm not one of those. I'm not a pastor or anything. Last time I checked, it's not a pastor's job to be a witness. It is a pastor's job to witness, but it's not his own job. It's everyone's. That the whole church is to go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. So the witness, walk in your witness, walk in your church attendance, walk in your Bible, walk in your righteousness. Just finished a series on Job. Today was the last day of Job. Lovely conversation with Sonny afterwards. I'm talking about how Job was a perfect man. Now, his premise was he was perfect. And by the way, what a testimony. As Sonny said, God chose out of everybody. When the devil showed up, God said, hey, have you considered Job? He brought him up. Job was living a godly life. Praise God for that. Would God even have you as a memo or me as a memo? Or would we make the postie sticks even? God bless you. Would we get the little, you know, pink tab on our name even? You know, a little, I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, we walk in righteousness. We are not saved by our works. We're not saved by our good merits. But certainly, as a believer in God, God wants us to walk in righteousness. That means we need to put away worldly lust. We need to put away those foolish things and live a life that's honoring to God. I have this as a final thought on this. In every area of life, we should put God in the center and take our seat off the throne. That's where we need to live. Put some tangible goals. The Bible tells us that we're supposed to walk honestly as in the day, not in riotous and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. Let's get rid of those sinful behaviors. And then finally, the number four, the final thought, keep Jesus the center of it all. We see that in the passage, verse number 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. What is the focus? Look, if I just gave you a bunch of do's and don'ts for 2022, I would be failing you as a pastor. I could tell you should read your Bible. I could tell you you need to go out and you need to be a witness. I could tell you you need to make church more important. I could tell you need to get rid of some sins, and that's all good. Those are the tangible things. But my friend, if I just told you that, I'd fail you. Because the reason why we do it is because of Him, because of Jesus Christ. Amen, preacher, amen. The Bible even gives us instruction that 1 Corinthians 13:1-3, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, have not the love of God, I am become as sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, the love of God, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods and to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, that love of God, it profiteth me nothing. So you could put in all those sayings I mentioned just a second ago. You could start reading your Bible in 2022. You could start going to church and being the best, faithfulest church member ever. You can be a witness. You can do all that stuff. You can even put on all the righteous acts you want. But if you leave the love of God and have God out of it, you're nothing. You've wasted your time. We need to remember Jesus. In 2022, just as I encouraged you in 2021, that odd year, right? In 2022, I want to encourage you to love Him more. He's the greatest. He's the Almighty. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace. He's Alpha the Omega. He's my Savior. He's your Savior. He can be. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you got to get Him today. You could put all those things on and it won't bring you one speck closer to Jesus Christ if you don't trust Him as your Savior. It's just sounding brass, tinkling cymbals, wasted noise. But you get Jesus Christ in your life, it makes it all worth it. He'll forgive you of your sins. He'll give you a home in heaven. He'll give you a new body, a promise of hope, a promise of a home, a wiping away of the tears, all of the things we can think of, the glorious things of heaven. May I say this morning, let us be faithful to the Lord and make Him the center of everything. I don't want to be somebody that watches 3 hours a day. 3 hours, that's a lot. Was it 3 or 4? No. 3 hours a day in TV alone. I want to make 3 hours of God. Now, you can put TV in there too. That's fine. But let God be the one that reigns. If you're watching TV and the Holy Spirit says that's not something you should be watching, you know what you ought to do? Shut it off. If you're listening to that music and God says that's not what you should be listening to, that shouldn't be on your phone, that shouldn't be on your bookshelf, that shouldn't be in your mind. Put it off. Make it be about God in everything. When you're at work on Monday, you ever think work is your opportunity to serve God? Amen? Opportunity. No, I'm just there to make some money. Yeah, God can provide for your money. I believe God places people in their workplace to be a witness. Are you wasting your time away? Well, Pastor, I can't witness at my work. You can be a witness. Every day, I worked at Breeze Air Conditioning. Every day I came in, I had a Bible on my truck in the middle of my seat. Anybody that rode with me, it always sat right there in the middle of my seat. Every day I came in and God was on my mind. You see, I haven't always been a pastor, and I've always, even as a pastor, I haven't always worked in the ministry full time. I've had the privilege of going out there and hanging out with the construction people. Those guys are always godly men, right? They listen to the best music on the job sites. AC/DC, I think that stands for all denominations, Christ love or something like that. I don't know. Ozzy Osbourne, I believe he's a godly man. I don't know. Do they still listen to that on the job sites?
They don't listen to music on the job
Oh, you have it not on your job site. That's awesome. I would have loved working on your job site. The truth of the matter is, you know, whatever you do, work, play, it's got to be about God. 2022 is here. In the next week or so, we're going to have one more week on challenging you to make some goals. But could I challenge you this week, when you leave here today, go home, and when you get there, take a pen and a piece of paper and make some plans. Make some goals. Some of them are just, hey, keep going on keeping going, amen? I'm already reading my Bible. I want to keep going. I want to do better. I'm already praying. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to do better. But some things you might need to add. Hey, I need to be a witness this year. That person that you go down and to that grocery store, that convenience store, they need to know about God. I talk to her every day. I talk to them every day. I should tell them about Christ. I should tell them about my church. I should bring them to church. I should invite them to church. I should invite them over for lunch and give them a cup of coffee and share the gospel with them. I should show them the love of God through my actions and my words. We need to do that in 2022. Hey, the time, it's high time. It's far spent. What are we going to do in 2022? Look, if Omicron is a real deal, then we should, as Christians, be more focused on serving God, not less. Because that means, if it's a real deal, that there are people that need to know now about Jesus Christ. Today. Not tomorrow. Might not be here tomorrow. Not the next week. But today. Today's the day. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we're so grateful for the Word of God. I know I went a little long. I'm sorry, Lord, pray that everyone here would understand the importance of hearing the message. That they would set aside for just a few more moments. They would set aside all the cares of this world, all the things. Lunch will happen, I promise. But they could focus on what you're doing in their heart. Lord, maybe there's one in here this morning that's not saved. Maybe they've come to church. They've been in church before. They've sang the songs even. But they've never trusted Jesus as their Savior. It's high time. The day is far spent. You need to do it today. We're not guaranteed a tomorrow. A young man had passed away at 27 years of age. He probably thought he was going to be there on Monday to go to work. But he didn't have that opportunity. For each one of us here, from teenage to senior saint, it's high time to serve God. And if today would be the day of salvation, I pray that that individual, if there's one here, that they would stop pretending, stop pushing it off, stop thinking, well, that's not for me, I'm too young, I'm too old, I'm too ornery, whatever it is. Put away all those excuses and say, today is the day, I want to trust Jesus Christ, I want to say a prayer and ask Him to forgive me my sins and ask Him to give me that home in heaven. That's salvation right there. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For others here this morning, they're saved, but they maybe, like myself, we can get in a rut. Life is going to begin again. Christmas is over. New Year's is done. We're well into the January month now, and it's high time that we get serious about serving God. May we be diligent to this task. May we look to our own personal walk, each teenager, each young person, each senior saint. What are we going to do in 2022 to serve you? Oh, Lord, please touch our hearts. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.